Hey folks, we're about to start the show, and would you do me a favor? As we continue to help people learn to steward their money and life for God's glory, we want to hear from you. Share with us how we can improve and serve you better. In fact, if you complete a short survey, you'll be entered to win one of four $50 Target gift cards. Head over to stewardship.com for more information, or you can text us. Text the word stewardship to the number 33444. Text the word stewardship to the number 33444, and we'll send you a link.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Today, we're talking all about different money myths, different lies that are out there. But before we do, let me give you a myth of a different kind. The myth, I can never share with Chris how much I love the show. False! In fact, you can get rewarded for sharing with us your thoughts on the show, and we're going to reward you with entering into a contest. Head over to stewardship.com to get more information on, or text the word stewardship to the number 33444. Text the word stewardship to number 33444 and tell us what you think about the show. Now, today we're talking all about myths when it comes to money. Things that the world teaches that aren't true. And this is a show where we talk all about stewardship. And no, that is not some old stale church word. No, it's alive. It's an amazing word. It's because we get to be managers of God's stuff. How cool is that? He trusts us enough. He's the owner and we are the managers. And that means money too. I know it's taboo to talk about money, but we talk about money on this show because we know that in a lot of ways, it's the number one thing that's holding people back when we're handling it the wrong way. And so therefore, we live this life with absolutely no margin, and we live this life completely with our back up against the wall, and we can't see anything in this life. We can't see the pain in a neighbor's face. We can't see the pain in maybe it's one of our children. They come home from school and they had a bad day. It was, they've got a lot of anxiety, and we're so busy running around with our head cut off because we're balancing two or three jobs to pay for all of our stuff that we don't need. It's happening every day. And so we're going to talk about this stuff. What does the scripture say about all this? If you're new to the show, we want to especially welcome you. The call-in number is 866-357-3283. If you want to call in with a question, if you want to call in with a comment, or maybe a testimony of how God's way of handling money has resulted in some pretty cool things in your life. Again, that number is 866-357-3283. And you can call that number anytime and leave a voicemail if we're not on the air. And you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. And of course, you can connect also on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Chris Brown On Air. Today, I want to talk a little bit about this idea of the world's way of handling money and God's way of handling money, the difference between the two, the myths that are out there, the lies that are out there. And I don't even know if they're with the motive of lying, but they're just not true. And so I want to speak to those. I just recently was working on a teaching that I was providing for Lifeway Ministries, and it's to pastors and leaders talking about my biggest frustration. My biggest frustration as a church leader, as a minister, as a pastor, is when folks say amen and say hallelujah. Some of your churches, they take a lap maybe around the auditorium in excitement, or maybe it's just a head nod. Or they're, worshiping, very engaged in worship and obviously very supportive of the ministry. That frustrates me. You're probably asking why? Because whether it's verbal support of a giving campaign or a missions trip or joining a group or attending a baptism event, Folks, I'm frustrated at these great people because I know, because of experience, because of history, that their actions will likely not match up with their verbal expression when that offering is passed or when they head out those church doors. I've spent nearly a decade observing this colossal issue of unmet expectations each week. Churches all over the country, every denomination, the gap between what they say and what they do. So frustrating. They say, hey, I want to get in a group. Many of you have done this. I want to get in a group. And then they don't. And then as church leaders, the church leader automatically thinks, well, it's just because they have a rebellious attitude or they've got a problem with the way we run the ministry or some kind of lack of desire. But folks, that's not true. We know that. These great people, many of you listening in, the bottom line is you don't have any margin in your life. And it all starts with you really being broke. And once I realized this as a church leader, I was relieved. Ha ha! 90% of the church isn't ignoring me. You know, it's not that they're, you know, throwing away everything I'm saying and saying, yeah, you know, that's not a good thing to come to. But then I remembered, it's not such good news because I'm called to disciple them. I'm called to lead them in the right way. And so obviously this is a frustration of mine. So I'm challenging leaders and church leaders all over the country and what we should do about it. And I thought I would share it with you. First and foremost, folks, we've got to grasp how enormous this problem is. And I would just say it's an opportunity as well. It's not just a problem. Folks, the problems in our lives are not problems, they're opportunities. I'm not sure if you know this research or not. I don't know if you're a leader listening in or not, but 7 out of 10 of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. You might have heard me say that before. And that's regardless of salary, making $2,000 a year, $20,000 a year, or $200,000 a year. These are folks who actually make money. They're not unemployed. They're living paycheck to paycheck. Okay, meaning if a paycheck doesn't come in, then there's going to be a major situation. And there's another 18% that are living worse than paycheck to paycheck. Now, folks, the danger in telling you that stat is that that's all you'll hear. You'll hear a stat. But this means that 88% of us, 88% of our congregations are broke or worse. Now, these are real people, you know this, with dreams and families. They're not just attendees. They're not just numbers. But these are volunteers. They're staff folks. They're family members. And if we're honest, many of us. Over a third of American adults are currently in the debt collection process, spending $1.26 for every dollar they earn. Did you hear that? The average American adult spends $1.26 for every dollar they earn. That is not okay. If 88% are broke or worse, then only 12% have margin to do anything. It's no coincidence either that the latest research states that 12% of born-again believers tithe. 12%. Did you do the math? 88% are broke or worse, and only 12% of born-again believers tithe. Huh. How ironic. And many of us have said this before. You've heard this before. Where there is no margin, there is no ministry. And that is so true in our lives. The bottom line is many of us are intentioned for ministry, but that's nothing without being positioned for ministry. So what do we got to do? What do we got to do to fix this? Well, like anything else, we need to start modeling this. That's why I love this stewardship community. Those of you who have been listening day in and day out over the last, whatever, it's been nearly 200 episodes, you want to model this, and you are modeling this. You're making biblical stewardship a priority in your life. And as we're humbly modeling this ourselves, no matter where we're at in our stewardship journey, the people that we're around, the people that are around us, they begin to be inspired by this, by us being faithful in this area. If we're going to help change anything, we got to first lead the way. We got to first model it. I feel a lot of pressure myself, a good, healthy pressure. I can't just talk about this stuff. I've got to do it. I got to practice what I preach. And I think when you really get the fact that God is the owner and that we're the managers, you can't help to be overwhelmed with gratitude. And it's not a chore. It's a blessing to do this. Secondly, we got to go back to what I just alluded to, the core belief system. We need to create a foundation for people. You guys are blitzed with media messages every day that, frankly, if I'm honest, do a fantastic job at teaching the world's way of handling money, which directly opposes what we see in the 2,350 verses in the Bible about money and possessions. As we try to revolutionize our worldview, we have to remind ourselves that the money that we possess, it's not ours. It's God's. He tells us in Psalm 24:1 that the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. That's everything. All the relationships, the leadership positions, the jobs, our health, and money as well. And if he's the owner, that means we are the managers. 1 Corinthians 4:2 tells us, those who are called to be managers must prove faithful. We get to manage the Creator's stuff. That is awesome. So how does this play out in our lives? Well, when we truly get this, we become more and more grateful. I hinted at that a minute ago. And honored, which is the absolute best repellent to entitlement. Entitlement let's just talk about that for just a minute. Entitlement's the root of the world's way of handling money. It just is. Entitlement is what's behind that, I deserve it. I work so hard. It's what's behind those, brilliant, not so brilliant decisions on the car lot, in the shopping malls. But when we're overtaken with gratitude, folks, we begin to care what the Bible says about debt in Proverbs 22:7, when it tells us the rich rule over the poor. The borrower is slave to the lender. We begin to care about Romans 13:8 that says when it tells us to owe no man anything except the debt to love one another. We begin to care about what the Bible says about budgeting. We see Jesus teach on this in Luke chapter 14. And we know that the Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. We don't have a plan. And people need to have a plan for their money. Zig Ziglar says it best. He says, if we aim at nothing, we'll hit it every time. Many of us are living our months, we're living our quarters, we're living our years, aiming at nothing, and we've hit it. And that is so, so true. But way before we can get into those behaviors, the saving and the investing and the avoiding debt, we have to first care about it. And so we got to start with this belief system, and that's the reason why we talk about stewardship so much. We have to remind ourselves that godliness with contentment is great gain. We have to remind ourselves that when we're faithful with little, we can be trusted with much. We have to remind ourselves that Jesus talks about the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, about how to make sure that we leverage and take full advantage of what's been given to us. It's when we get this that we start looking to the future. We start claiming Proverbs 21:20 for ourselves when it says, in the house of the wise is choice food and oil. And we start actually saving, not hoarding, but saving. We start looking to the next generation and realize that at a heart level, that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. We start to see giving as something that can be done with a cheerful heart. It can happen because now we have margin. Now that we're in position, and now that we have a new belief system, it becomes really fun when we start to experience Proverbs 11:25. When you start to give and experience, those who refresh others themselves will be refreshed. Now, you see how this gets fun, right? When we get in position, when we're not broke, when we have margin. So that's the reason why we have this show. Well, earlier, I told you a little bit about we need your feedback. We want your feedback. We want to know how we can serve you better, how we can help you steward your money and your life for God's glory, how we can do that better. And in return for you sharing your thoughts with us, you'll be entered to win one of four $50 Target gift cards. Here's what you got to do. You just head over to stewardship.com today to share with us how we can serve you better. That's simple. Or we'll make it even more simple. You can text us. Text the word stewardship to the number 33444. And we'll send you a link where you can share a few thoughts with us. And don't be doing this while you're driving. But again, text the word stewardship to the number 33444.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now back to your host, Chris Brown.
Now, this world's way of handling money versus God's way of handling money. There are some beliefs out there, practically speaking, that I have just got to debunk. I've got to get rid of them. Did you know that if you tell a lie often enough, loud enough, and long enough, that that myth becomes accepted as truth? There's lots of things like that, right? You think about, I don't know if you remember this, but back in the day, and some of you might still believe this, if you shave hair, it grows back more thick and more full. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever believed it? Folks, that is not true. Not even close. I actually looked it up. The Mayo Clinic says when you shave a hair, when it comes back, because it's so short, it can appear more coarse. It can feel a little bit stronger. And so you think it's coming back thicker, but it's not. It's just because it's shorter. And that is not true. But we believed it for so long, right? Now, some of you are really, really smart, and you knew that wasn't true all along. But many of us were convinced. Many of us are convinced. Remember, you talk on the cell phone that you get cancer, right? Some of you still believe that. That is not true. That has been proven incorrect. My president's cancer panel, talking on a cell phone does not create cancer, but it's been talked about long enough, right? So, it must be true. When we think about this thing called debt, it has been marketed to us in so many forms, so aggressively, that to even imagine living without it requires a complete paradigm shift. You know what I'm talking about. I hear it in your tone of voice when you call in. You're like, no, life with no credit cards, Chris, you are off your rocker, right? It's true. One of the lies that's out there is that car payments, they're a way of life, and you'll always have one. Have you ever heard that? I've actually heard that from a pretty intelligent, sophisticated person in other areas, and I don't know what in the world's going on here. But folks, according to Edmunds.com, the average car payment in America is $479 a month. That's $5,748 a year. What? Why in the world would you want that? Buy used with cash. Let's just park right here on car payments for a while. Let's park on cars. Some of you think in the back of your mind that you have to buy a car every 3 to 5 years. You really think that. Now, you don't. Cars are made better now. They last longer. You do not have to go through cars every 3 to 5 years. When that, odometer hits 100,000 miles, don't freak out. You don't have to go get a new car. Something else I'd like to let you know about. Many of you need to look at your car insurance. You need to reassess your car insurance. Some of you have got a $200 deductible, but you have an emergency fund. You don't need to have a $200 deductible if you have an emergency fund. Get that thing up to $1,000, and you're going to save probably about 40% of your comp, of your comprehensive. So you want to make sure you get rid of that. And those of you that have an older car, you might even drop your collision and your comp. You might just need to get rid of both of them because it's not worth it. And then, some of you will go nuts at the dealership, even if you are buying used, and you go nuts on all the accessories. Folks, don't do that. Wait to buy some aftermarket stuff later, but don't buy right there at the dealership. They obviously have gotten you. So all those things you don't have to do. Car payments, Come on now. We're better than that. Driving a reliable used car is what the typical millionaire does. This is how they become millionaires. So if you're interested in having millions of dollars so that you can be really, really generous and set up the next generation and be able to live a margin-filled life, then drive a used car. If you don't care about those things, well, then go for your car payment. Another thing that people say, you can get a good deal on a new car. Could not be further from the truth, right? You see those advertisements that are so slick. The bottom line is 1/3 of car buyers sign up for a 6-year loan at an average of 9.6%. And the average car is $26,000 that's being bought today. Meaning, check this out, when you're driving down the road, think through this. 1/3 of the cars that you see, visualize this, they're dragging a $475 payment with them. They're just driving along and just picture $475 just dangling from the back bumper. That's what's happening. 25% of the value of the car is gone as soon as you drive it off the lot. That does not sound like a very good deal to me. A new car loses 70% of its value in the first 4 years. Not a very good deal. So let's break this down a little bit. Okay. Again, world's way of looking at money and God's way of looking at money. So the world's way of looking at money seems so wise, right? Seems so sophisticated. Let's break this down. So after the 6 years of paying for this $26,000 car, you actually pay $33,000. And the car, 6 years later, is now worth $6,000. So you've got a $6,000 car that you paid $33,000 for. Can somebody please tell me how this is a good deal? We are much smarter than that. Here's an alternative. Buy a $2,000 car, a beater, and for 10 months, just 10 months, let's take that same $475 payment and pay ourselves and save it. And so at the end of 10 months, you've got $4,750, right? $4,750. Add that to the $1,500 that you could probably get for that $2,000 beater. And now you're looking around a $6,000 cash car. Do that every 10 months and upgrade. Next thing you know, 30 months later, you're looking at a paid for in cash car that you can drive for a long time. Hello, right? So that is the way to go. If you don't believe me, I'm telling you, a car payment is a great way to assure that you stay broke. Now, Chris, what about car leasing? The lie that's out there, leasing your car is what sophisticated financial people do. The reality is a good calculator will tell you that the car lease is the most expensive way to finance and operate a vehicle. Tom Stanley, who wrote Stop Acting Rich, said that 80% of millionaires surveyed never drove a new car and never leased a car. But Chris, what about the tax deduction for, I'm a business owner? Well, let's be honest. You're pretty much trying to rationalize what you can't afford. That's really what's happening. And you think you can get this, you know, the depreciation on it. And the bottom line is you can get straight line depreciation on vehicles owned by a business regardless without being in debt. So that's not even necessary. All right, folks. Well, I'm starting to get a little bit worked up. Car payments and talk through leasing a little bit and maybe a little bit of debt. There's so many more things that the world is teaching us that we've got to cover. So this has kind of been, I guess if I were to name today's show, I would say Mythbusters. That's what we're doing. We got the world's way of handling wealth and money and God's way. And there's so many things we're being taught every day that just aren't true. And so I think what we're going to do is we're going to come back. And I'm going to get into some other lies that are out there, some lies about credit scores and some lies about student loans and some of those things that are out there. And we want to make sure that practically speaking, we know the lies are being told to us. And I'm not questioning people's motives, but the reality is there's some truths that aren't true that are being told to us. And we need to know what the real truth is. And we believe on this show an absolute truth, the Bible. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit more. Well, we're all done for today. That wraps up today's show. I will tell you this. I'll be on the road this spring with Dave Ramsey, with Rachel Cruz, with Chris Hogan. with many others traveling around many of our events, and I'd love to meet you. So check out Chris Recommends on stewardship.com for a list of dates and cities. And remember, we want your feedback. So head over to stewardship.com, or you can text the word stewardship to the number 33444, and you'll be entered to win one of four $50 Target gift cards. Well, we appreciate you listening in. We pray that this was an encouragement to you. And until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.